Minehead Baptist Church Sermon Podcast for Sunday, the 14th of January, 2018. Hello and welcome. Thank you once again for joining me. My name's James and I'm the web guy here at NBC. This week, Tim's continuing our looking at the series of Being Part of the Body. And this week, he's looking at the pastoral team. The reading is Luke chapter 4, verses 14 to 21. That'll be read by Sheila and then Tim will start the sermon.
Reading from Luke 4, 14 to 21. Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread through the whole countryside. He taught in their synagogues, and everyone praised him. He went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day he went into the synagogue, as was his custom, and he stood up to read. The scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favour." Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him, and he began by saying to them, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." This is the word of the Lord. Thank
you. Last week, we began our thinking about being the church here in Minehead under this title of Our Part in the Body. And today, that theme becomes a bit more focused around the incredible way that being a Christian connects us together as a family. And as a family, we have a responsibility to love and care for one another. That's the reality of what we are brought to be as Jesus' people. A friend of ours was involved in a training visit to Christians in Mongolia a number of years ago, helping them to think and prepare to offer care within their churches and to the country. And one of the most striking observations that our friend Julia made was this: there was a total absence of care in the culture. It was not normal to show care. In a country with no Christian heritage at all, the imparted values of any sense of responsibility to house, feed, or offer support to someone other than yourself was missing. It was just not part of their culture. And for Julia, it was a reminder that in the Western world, where Christian values have shaped society for generations, we shouldn't undervalue how important faith can be in making a difference to the culture in which we live. Now, we know our culture is drifting away from its Christian values, but the fact is that so much of what people regard as normal and good and right is based in the history of the Christian faith, which has founded so much of our culture. In the context of pastoral care, we need to understand why we seek to care, and that it finds its motivation and its power in the person of Jesus. So before we specifically look at our pastoral setup here in the church, let's think for a few minutes about the wider meaning behind people caring, and that it's Jesus who is our inspiration and our source when we think of our own responsibility to care. If you like, we care because of Jesus' example. Earlier we heard some words from 1 John 4, verse 9. Do you want to read with me? This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. Jesus shows God's care and love in the giving of himself for us. And one of the hallmarks of being a Christian is that we might reflect the same character that Jesus had in our lives. So, if we look back through the life of Jesus, we find it is full of acts of care and love. His life was marked by care to those around him. Now, all Christians agree that we should be like Jesus in how we live. Some of us feel we're doing better than others, but, you know, the reality is that's what we're aiming for. That's what we're working towards. That's what we're seeking in our walk with God. And if we take that seriously, then we need to have the same broadness that Jesus showed in giving care. Because Jesus' love for those he came across was multifaceted. It was physical, it was emotional, and it was spiritual. Think back. Jesus healed the sick at the same time teaching them about God's kingdom. Jesus taught spiritual truths while building people up in who they were. Now, I haven't got time this morning to take us through the whole of Jesus' ministry, but just have a little glance through the Gospels. Just see how often. Note that when Jesus performs healing, then it's connected with a time of teaching or pointing towards a spiritual truth, and vice versa. So that when he does teaching, he puts it into practice and makes it an action as well. The thing is, Jesus knew what we've only discovered recently in human psychology and medicine. The fact that people have needs which are not just physical, but they're also emotional and spiritual. And if we are to care as Jesus cared, then we too need to provide care in every aspect of who people are. In the past, there was a really unhealthy division between what people called the social gospel and the evangelical gospel, as if one was right and the other was wrong. In the life of Jesus, we see no division in seeking to love and care for people. Any division is a nonsense to the Jesus that we follow. If we offer physical care without the spiritual, we're actually letting people down and denying the example of Jesus. And if we only try to win souls without caring for the physical and the emotional, then we're denying the wholeness that Jesus came to bring to people. We need both. And salvation means wholeness. We know that. And our care needs to express this as Jesus did in his example to us. We care because of Jesus' example, but we also care because of Jesus' words. It's not only the example of Jesus that prompts us, but his teaching. Remember, Jesus said some really annoying things? How many bits of the Bible would you really, honestly, like him to take out? But the reality is, God challenges us because it's good for us, it's healthy for us. He said things like, love your neighbor as yourself. That's great when your neighbor's nice, isn't it? Not so easy when they're miserable. Jesus said, forgive as you want others to forgive you. How often is that a challenge when we actually like hanging on to our little grudge against so-and-so? Similarly, judge not that you be judged. That's a challenging one, isn't it? Jesus said that we should go the extra mile. You know what? Sometimes I don't want to go the first. But actually, God challenges who we are and challenges our conduct and our focus. Jesus says, sell your possessions and give to the poor. I could go on, couldn't I? In fact, in the notes for today, I encourage you as fellowship groups to go further, to think of some other examples you want to add to that list. But the thing is that Jesus' words go against the grain of the selfish, self-absorbed attitudes of our culture. And his challenge to us as Christians is to put his words into action. The passage we heard from Luke's Gospel earlier, where Jesus reads from Isaiah, is sometimes referred to as Jesus' manifesto or his mission statement. Remember them? Read with me. The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And Jesus' words to us are that we are to carry on that same mission as we care for those around us. As we're going to see as we look at each of the teams over the coming weeks, there is a huge overlap between many of the teams. Okay? You can't really separate them off. And it's true here, isn't it? Because if we are caring as Jesus taught us to care, then it is tied intimately with mission. So don't be surprised if over the coming weeks we find that themes overlap and they begin to inform one another as we look at all these different teams over the coming weeks. Now, our pastoral team has a few words to help keep it on track, and it's this. The pastoral team focus statement is this: each member knowing that they are accepted, supported, and valued in the church family. Is that a good aim? That everybody would know that reality for themselves. But to do that, we need to take Jesus' words and make them real in how we live together as God's people. Now, in these weeks, looking at our team structure as a church, we're going to be using the illustration of concentric circles. And the different teams that we have will be working towards meeting the needs of one or more of these circles of influence. Have a second to look at it. The fact is that as a church here, we are in contact with a huge range of people in Minehead and the surrounding area. For though it really goes from those who have no faith whatsoever in the wider community to people who are fully committed to Jesus and the ministry of the church here. And so you go right from outside, if you like, where you're not quite sure where people are coming from, all the way through to people who are 100% committed to what we're up to as a family together. And the main area of responsibility of our pastoral team is in focusing on the congregation, okay? About halfway through, halfway in. It's us. Okay? It's those of us who gather together in some way within the life of our church. And that's going to be the focus of the pastoral team. And we care because we are explicitly commanded to do so by Jesus, who has saved us. not so that we earn our acceptance to God. It's not about stacking up brownie points against all the things we do wrong, but as an expression of our forgiven, loved, accepted position as God's children. Isn't that amazing that we have been forgiven, that we are loved, that we are accepted as children of God? Seeking to help others that they might also experience that freedom, hope, and joy for themselves. So we care because of Jesus' example. We care because of Jesus' words. Here's another one. It's not going to be really that difficult. We care because we are Jesus' people. It's that simple. Earlier we heard the phrase, "Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God." The passage continues a little bit later than the passage we heard earlier with these words. Again, do you want to read with me? Saves my voice. "This is how we know that we live in him and he in us. He has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent his Son to be the Saviour of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in them and they in God. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in them." To be a Christian is to have experienced the forgiveness that Jesus came to provide. To receive for ourselves the offer of a new life through trusting in Jesus' sacrifice on the cross. And as the reading indicates, when we do that, we are given the Holy Spirit to live in us and to equip us as Jesus' people. And that common experience gives us a perception of how important love really is. The love that God has shown to us then becomes that motivating force within us that we might show love to other people. To care because of what we have known of God's care to us. And without that consciousness, much of what we've been sharing today makes no sense. Because Jesus' example is impossible to copy without the power and the love of God at work in us by the Holy Spirit. It is just impossible because we can't care with the same scope and power and commitment unless that Spirit is motivating, enforcing, energizing who we are. Jesus' words are an unachievable mountain to climb if we've not known the reality of God's touch for ourselves. I know very well, that my resources to care for others are limited. I do not have what it takes to live Jesus' way. And yet the promise of God is that in his love, having been received, he will provide what we need if I stay close to him, if we stay close to him. To be open to receive his love in a deeper way. To be open to receive his boldness. To be open to receive his power. To be open to receive his gifts. To be open to receive his joy. It's often said that as God's people, we leak when we're filled with the Holy Spirit. The good news is that Jesus says all we have to do is to ask, and God will fill us with his Spirit. How much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Why do we need to ask God to fill us? For this simple truth. Because to care costs us. It does. It really does cost if we're going to care. It costs us emotionally, it costs us physically, it costs us spiritually. And in order to be able to stay in a place where we can care, we require God's help. We care because we are Jesus' people. We stay able to care because of Jesus. Does that make sense? Grasp that, and we're a long way along where we should be. Put it into action. So, this morning is in part about introducing the pastoral team. In Ephesians 4, it says these words, "So Christ gave himself, gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ." And this passage from Ephesians indicates lots of different truths, but it includes the fact that leadership is always plural in the New Testament. As we celebrated earlier in the service, when many of our leaders stood up and we recognized our leadership team. But this passage also points to the fact that some people are gifted and called towards specific different roles in the life of any church family, including the role of pastor. Now, when I say pastor, many people's image or natural tendency is to think of whoever's in charge of the church. You know, it's the leader. It's the person at the front. The pastor. Now, obviously, this passage is not talking about one individual, is it? It's not the context in which the New Testament operated. It's not the context in which God wants us to operate. Pastors are not just people specially trained to be church leaders, but people who are gifted by God to care. That's all you need. Just people who care with God's power. You're a pastor. Most of you know that I tend to shy away from using the word pastor to describe myself. Not because I'm not a pastor, but because it perpetuates the myth that we only have one or maybe two in any individual church, and that's a nonsense. So for my overall title, I tend to use the word minister because it's nice and vague. That sort of describes me, doesn't it? You know, bit vague around the edges. And it means that we're then free to understand that we have many pastors in our church. We've got loads of them. And so our pastoral team involves many people who display one or more of the following characteristics of being a pastor. A pastor can be someone who shepherds God's people. Someone who cares for others with a tender heart. Now, you don't have to have all these. Just one or two would be good. Okay? It's somebody who sees needs and then provides comfort and encouragement to others. Someone who can easily empathize with others and exhibits lots of patience with those who are in need. Someone who enjoys one-to-one chats or showing hospitality. Someone who is moved by other people's problems and has a knack for speaking the truth in love. Or someone who is a good listener and are easy to talk to share your inner feelings with. Any or all of those. It's unusual to have all of those skills in one person, I have to confess. But, you know, pick out a few of those and actually you're identifying something of the character of the pastors that God has put within our church. So let's introduce our pastoral team, which we've been working, and I've been working hard in the last few months to try to develop and to encourage and to support. And it is exciting because at the moment it does feel a bit like a new start with our team structure. There is an anticipation and an excitement as we look ahead and we seek to put some of these things into action. Remember where we began today, that the area of influence is focusing on the congregation, those connected with the church in a distinct way. And that each member knowing they're accepted, supported and valued in the church family. So let's have a little go. This is going to be a bit mad for a few minutes, okay? And I'm very conscious that we will have some people who stand up today who will stand up the next time we look at teams and the next time we look at teams and the next time we look at teams, because we've got some very multi-talented people within the church who are very capable. But let me introduce, first of all, Christine Dickinson. Come on down. Come up the front. Just, you stood up earlier because you've just been appointed onto the leadership team. And as a leadership team, each of the elders is given responsibility to oversee one of the teams that we have as church. Come on. I knew that when we think about pastoral team, pastors have a tendency to not want to show themselves. So I knew it would be a struggle to get you up here. But
you didn't warn me about this.
I did warn you you were going to stand there.
Yes.
Not up here. Look, they're all friendly. They're a nice bunch, honest. So Christine has just been appointed onto the leadership team, and she is the elder with responsibility to oversee the pastoral team. We're still working out what that means, all right? So don't ask her too many difficult questions yet. Give her a couple of weeks, all right? Now, because you look a little lonely there, I'm going to ask Linda to come up as well. Linda Healy-Flatley is our pastoral team leader. So she's not officially on the leadership team, but she is the leader of those who are engaged in pastoral stuff within the church. You look as terrified as Christine. I just love this. This is so wonderful. And Linda, you're fairly new too, aren't you? You were appointed just before Christine, weren't you? Only just. Is it exciting?
Yeah.
Yes. Would you like to get off the stage now? Okay, you can go off the stage. But you will be standing again in a moment, if that's all right. So these two folks are key in the structure we have for pastoral care within the church. I'm notified of lots of things that go on and do a fair amount of chatting with folks, but on a day-to-day basis, this is the structure that we have. We also have a team... Oh, sorry, they're up there. Da-da-da. Okay. We also have sort of different aspects of the church that comes under this. Now, if you are a fellowship group pastoral carer, would you like to stand and you don't have to come up on the stage? Okay. You know who you are. Okay. Okay. Now, these people are, and there are some more, who are not here this morning. These people are part of our house group system, which we call fellowship groups. And in each of the fellowship groups, one of the people in that group is responsible for the pastoral care of the people within that group. And often that also includes one or two other people who may not go to the group regularly, but people that they have a connection with. And so these folks offer pastoral care on a weekly basis, just keeping an eye and loving and supporting and valuing the people who are part of our small group network. You can sit down for a moment, okay? We also have, this is really weird, we've called them peripheral pastoral carers. That sounds a bit weird, but it was just a way of distinguishing between the fellowship group pastoral carers. And by this, we're really talking about those who have said that they will help support those who are not yet part of a fellowship group. Because within our church, we have around, I think it's about 80 people, when we actually looked at the list on Friday, we went through it again. There's about 80 people connected with our church who are not part of fellowship groups. So about 120 are, but then we've got about 80 who are not. And so we wanted to establish a group, and I was particularly motivated to want to start a group where we recognise, support and value those people who are not yet part of the group. In time, they might all become part of a fellowship group, in which case this group will cease to exist. But I can't imagine that'll ever happen, because there'll always be new people who are coming into the life of the church. So if you are peripheral pastoral carer, would you like to stand up? Sheila, you can stand up on behalf of Jason as well. And these folks have individuals that they're helping to support and to value. So you can sit down for a second. Peripheral pastoral carers. I don't think I'll use that phrase very often. We also, as a church, have a system of being able to notify when there's a particular need or pastoral concern. And I just want to say, at this point, a huge thank you to Pauline Padfield. Pauline, are you happy to stand up? Or wave where you are? Thank you. Up until November, Pauline was the elder with responsibility for the pastoral care. And as she's come off the leadership team, I wanted to take the opportunity this morning to just say a huge thank you to Pauline for everything that she has done over the last few years in regard to the pastoral side of the church, because she's been an absolute star in everything that she's done. So just wanted to say a thank you. And one of the things that Pauline has taken hold of and run really well with is the pastoral care prayer emails. Now, because she's standing down, we've restructured this slightly, so get your heads around this. If you're not on email, or you don't like using email, because they're two different things, then you can let Linda know by phone if there's a particular need that you feel it would be good for people to pray for. Now, if you are happy with email, then Ali, would you want to stand up? Look behind you, because she's right at the back. Ali is very happy to take your emails direct. So you don't have to talk to her, but you can, but she's never here. But she's very happy to organise it. So Ali will be sending the emails out, and we'll be using that email address, okay? So it is on the news sheet, so you don't need to write it down now, but it's on the news sheet so that if there are particular needs, we're able to respond quickly in prayer and support with those who need our help. We also have people who offer home communion. Where's Peter and Catherine? Were they around? Oh, there's Catherine.
Is
Peter's at work this morning. Yeah, that always happens. Thank you. They also engaged with home visiting. We also have people who help in nursing home services. Those who help in nursing home services, Roy and Jenny and the Wilsons. And stand up. Got to say hello. Anybody else help with nursing home services? Thank you. Excellent, thank you. There's loads going on. If you're involved in the prayer ministry team, would you like to stand? Because we also have that. So these folks, every week, we have at least two people who come and are available for prayer after the service on a Sunday morning. And we have a growing team of people who offer that service in the life of our church, which is brilliant. Thank you. You can sit down. We also have different activities in the church, which probably are more pastoral than anything else. So we sort of lumped them under this banner, if you like. That sounds bad. I don't mean that I lumped them. I mean that we felt they fitted most appropriately under this particular banner. And so if you're involved in helping to run Heartsease, would you like to stand? Audrey, you've got to stand up as well. Yeah. You see, it's always bad with these pastoral people because they don't like to be in the spotlight. But it's brilliant that we have a team of people who help. Heartsease is the group that is particularly for those who may have been bereaved and value being together and supporting each other, looking after each other. And Heartsease is a brilliant, brilliant initiative we've had. Is Anne Dowrick around this morning? She's in Creche. Hi, Anne! She's over there somewhere. Evening Fellowship is another sort of very pastoral, and it's supportive and encouraging, particularly for some of the older folks within the church. Mary, you're going to have to stand up. And anybody else who helps Mary with the flowers ministry, who helps with flowers, delivering and producing and sticking in? Excellent. There are more of you, I know. You can sit down. Great. And the flowers ministry is really significant. We also have a new initiative. As of Friday morning, when we met together, we're going to be establishing the TLC visiting. It's just those who might need a little bit of TLC. Makes sense, doesn't it? So it's people who are probably connected with the church, but they just appreciate a little bit. And Linda is really keen to get that up and running and to be able to offer that as another level of support and encouragement to our life together as a church. Now, you can see that there's loads and loads going on from a pastoral point of view within the church. And just for a second, would all of those people who've just stood up, for whatever reason, like to stand again? Please. And all of you others who are around them, can we spend a moment or two just praying for them and valuing them and appreciating them? So just for a moment or two, would you like to sort of just put a hand on the person who's near you? And just pray for them. I'm not going to do a big thing from the front, but just pray for those individuals. Just a moment or two. If you're too far away, just be still. Maybe pick on somebody in your mind to pray for them, to value them, to support them, encourage them. Father, we thank you that you call us together as a family. And we want to value and to thank you for these individuals who serve in so many different ways within the life of our church. We pray, Lord, that you would resource them, encourage them, and bless them as we look to the future. In Jesus' name, amen. You may sit down. We've shared quite a lot this morning, some of it very practical, but some of it very biblical, and calling us to think about our own role. And I'm very conscious that sometimes we point out that Not all of us are called to be evangelists. Is that true? Not all of us are called to be evangelists, but all of us are witnesses to Jesus. And we talk about that in relation to mission. I want to say a similar thing by the same token about pastoral care. Not everyone is called to be a pastor, but every Christian is called to care. Okay? And in that way, we seek to replicate the ministry of Jesus. We seek to put the life of Jesus into action in our life together. Let's pray for you, for us. Father, we thank you. As a church here, we are so privileged by your touch, your grace, your love, your peace, your hope. And Father, we pray that as we revel in who you are as individuals, that you will help us to take our responsibility to love and care for those around us, to be motivated to support and value, to be alongside when things are tough, to laugh and to celebrate when things are good, to genuinely express together all the multifaceted ways in which we are called to be your family. In Jesus' name. Amen.
To leave a comment on the sermon, please go to mainhead-baptist.com/sermons. Well, thank you once again for listening, and I'll speak to you soon.